One of the things that we oftentimes don't look at is some of the instruction that was given to the Israelites that is applicable to us today. One of the problems that plagued the Israelites, as we have been studying in Ezekiel, was the sin of idolatry. In fact, when you study Ezekiel, you find that God sent them into Babylonian captivity because of that sin. In the Ten Commandments, God had given specific instructions as to things that they were not to do, as to idols that they were not to make or worship. In giving instruction to them in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we find that Moses reiterates much of what was said in the Ten Commandments. If you look at verses 15 through 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 4, he says, "So watch yourselves carefully. Since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. And beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them, those which the Lord your God has allotted to all the peoples under the whole heaven." When Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God, he was gone so long that the people started to murmur and wonder whether or not he was actually coming back. So they went to Aaron, and they had Aaron to make them a golden calf. Aaron's response to them after he had made the calf was, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." The question that we might ask, what is idolatry? Well, it's a pretty simple question to answer. The answer is the worship of idols. When you start looking up definitions in dictionaries, and it depends upon which dictionary you're using, the precise definition that you come up with, but you find that the definition of an idol is an image or object representing or considered as a god and worshipped as having divine powers, a false or non-existent god, an object of heathen worship. As we look at the idea that we find laid out for us in this particular thought, we need to talk about some of the things that we see as far as idols go. The gods of the ancient Greeks, Romans, the Teutonics, they were like men and women. Gods like Zeus, like Minerva, like Thor. We don't have to worry about those gods today because there's nothing in our society that deals with them. We're not of the Roman culture. We're not of the Greek culture. We're not of the Norse culture. So it's not a problem for us. Or is it? When we start looking at the days of the week, we find Sunday to be named for the Roman sun god Apollo. We find Monday to be named for the Roman moon god or moon goddess, Diana. Tuesday, of course, is the Teutonic war god, Tu. Wednesday, the Teutonic chief god, Wanton. As we go through the week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, these are all named, every one of the 7 days of the week is named for some idol that ancient cultures worshiped. That brings it pretty close to home when we start thinking about these things and when we start giving preference to one day over another day. When we look at the months of the year, we find the very same thing. Chris asked me out there in the front, he says, how come you've only got 5 months on there? Well, only 5 months were named after gods. That's the reason. I guess I could have put July and August on here for Julius and Augustus because they thought they were gods. But only five of them are actually named for gods. We never think of the idea of idol worship when we start talking about the months of the year or the days of the week. We never think about that, but we should on occasion give it some thought as to why they are named what they're named and what it represents or represented to the people who named them as such. We live a lot closer to the idea of idol worship than many, many people would think that we do. There are other influences of these gods that we see. For instance, the caduceus, the sign that you see in a doctor's office, you know, the pole with the snake wrapped around it, the caduceus. It's a symbol of Asclepius, the Greek god of medicine. It represents that god. You look at something else that we do all the time and something that we deal with on a regular basis. Now I want to ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to give me an answer. I'm just asking a question. How many of you had a bowl of cereal for breakfast this morning? Did you know that cereal comes from the Greek goddess Ceres, the goddess of grain? That's where the word comes from. We oftentimes don't realize, and I've said this three times now, we oftentimes don't realize just how close idolatry is to us in our daily lives and the things that we do. Did I say that we worship them? No, I didn't say that. But we don't realize how close idolatry is. We find that even the names of some of the Greek and Roman gods are found throughout the Bible. In Acts chapter 14, at verse 12, we find there that Paul and Barnabas were given the names Zeus and Hermes, or if you have the old King James, Jupiter and Mercury. Why? Because of the things that they did and the miracles that they were able to perform. The people were so superstitious that they thought the gods had actually come down from heaven and were among them in human form. In Acts chapter 17, at verse 19, we find there that Paul was in Athens, and that the people heard him, and that they went up to the Areopagus, Mars Hill. Well, the Areopagus was named for Ares, the Greek god of war. Now, these things show us the influence that idol worship has had on our Western civilization. Let's talk for a minute about things that are important now that we have laid this foundation. Let's ask a question. Why is this wrong? Well, in Genesis chapter 1, at verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Our image. The image of God. "According to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Mankind are created beings. It is wrong to worship people because mankind is a created being, and because God said, don't do so. In Acts chapter 10, at verse 25 and 26, Peter came to Cornelius' house. Cornelius met Peter at the door, and Cornelius bowed down to Peter. Peter's response was, "Stand up. I too am just a man." Peter refused to allow Cornelius to pay him the respect that was due to a God. He refused to accept Cornelius's worship. Why? Because he was just a man like Cornelius. Does anyone, you suppose, worship the likenesses of men today? Nah. Never happens, does it? What about Buddha? Buddha was a man, folks. Yeah, if you looked at my opening chart, you saw a picture there. Buddha was a man. The fact that he's been turned into an idol, and people worship this idol, yes, it is with us today. But we say, well, that's okay, Jack, but that's not a problem, because we don't worship Buddha. I would agree. But what about sports idols, rock idols, movie idols? What about A-Rod? Yeah, you all know who I'm talking about. What about, oh, I don't know, I'll pick one. John Elway. Did you know that John Lennon said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus? Probably too many people. Those human idols are perhaps more important than God. In Matthew chapter 10 at verse 37, Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Back in McAllister, Oklahoma, I like to use McAllister. There are so many illustrations out of that congregation. Back in McAllister, Oklahoma, we had a lady there that was just a wonderful lady. Oh man, could she cook. And she would not miss the services of the congregation. If the doors were open, it didn't matter whether it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, gospel meeting. If the doors were open, she was going to be there. Y'all are waiting for the shoe to drop, huh? Unless her family was coming to town. And then she had to stay home and cook. Do we do things like that? Think about it. Maybe not the same thing, but do we do things like that? Do we place family before our service to God? Is family more important to us than our service to God? Have we placed them as an idol? God said, it is wrong to worship the likeness of a human being. But he also said that you shall not worship the likeness of an animal or a bird or a creeping thing or fish. The gods of ancient Egypt were very animal-like. Anubis looked like the jackal. Horus looked like the falcon. Sobek, the crocodile. Animals were created by God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, and 24 and 25, we find the creation of these things. Now, do we have a problem with that? Well, I don't know. Paul said it is wrong to worship the created beings. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Did you catch that? Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Do we have a problem with it today? Do people worship the images of mankind? Do they worship the images of birds, creeping things, fish? How many of you remember seeing, you don't see it much today, but there for a while you did, how many of you remember seeing the fish on the back of people's cars? Now, you know what that fish represented? Several people are nodding their head yes. Supposedly, somewhere along the line, that represented the fact that they were Christians. How could it represent the fact that they were Christians when they were doing exactly what God had said don't do? How many people had a lady years ago? Instead of asking a question, let me just give you a little story. Had a lady years ago, it was probably 1965. Yeah, that would be about right, 1965. Lived across the hall in the apartment house from us. She always, always, always wore a cross. I'm not saying anything wrong with wearing a cross, folks. I didn't say that. We can have that discussion another day, or we can have it in private if you'd like. I didn't say that. But she always wore this cross. I asked her one day, why do you wear the cross? Are you Catholic? No, I'm not Catholic. Then why do you wear the cross? It helps me focus. What had she done? She had turned that piece of jewelry into an idol. It helped her focus. Do we have a problem with that today? Do people do the very same thing? No, not do people do the very same thing. Do we do the very same thing? Perhaps many people wouldn't even consider it. They wouldn't consider any of these things that we've talked about. But what about, oh, I could get in trouble with this one. What about the animal rights activist? We got any in the audience tonight? What about the animal rights activist? They seem to treat animals almost as if they were like gods. They seem to think that it is okay to kill people, but it is not okay to kill animals. There are so many stories around the world of things of that nature happening that it's unreal. Understand, I would not say there is any cause or any reason that we should abuse animals. I would be the first to scream about that. In Proverbs chapter 12 at verse 10, a righteous man has regard for the life of his animal. But at the same time, they were created to be used by mankind. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. They were not to be placed above man like God. One of the problems with doing these kind of things is that man was created in God's image. There is no higher creation than man. You go from man to God. So when you put something above man, you're putting them in the place of God. When you put animals or whatever it might be, then you put them in the place of God. Well, let's talk a bit about the sun, the moon, the stars, the host of heaven. The gods of ancient Assyria, Babylonia, and many of the Middle Eastern cultures often based their lives on the heavenly bodies. Today, people often base their lives on the heavenly bodies. Once again, don't raise your hands and don't answer my question. How many of you read your horoscope each morning and design your day based on what your horoscope for that day said? Oh, by the way, if you read the horoscopes in the newspaper, read them very carefully. Each one of them says exactly the same thing. It doesn't matter which month they're talking about. But how many are so caught up in astrology that they build their life around what their horoscope says? I knew a lady one time who wouldn't leave the house if her horoscope said that it might be a bad day. How many people do that? We are not caught up in idolatry, folks. How many people do things like that? Like mankind, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that are created by God. Neither are they worthy of being worshipped. In 2 Kings, I want you to turn over there for just a minute. 2 Kings chapter 21. Here's a fellow that is a very good example of someone who does that. And as we look down through this particular chapter, we'll find out it's also a good example of what happens to someone who does that. Look at the first three verses. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. I'll get it out in a minute. He did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as King Ahab of Israel had done, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Here's a guy who had a righteous father, and look how he turned out. He did everything that God had told him not to do. Now slide down to verse 6. He made his son pass through the fire. You understand what that means? It means he sacrificed his son. He made his son pass through the fire. He practiced witchcraft and used divination and dealt with mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. What was wrong with all of these things? Well, as you look at each and every one of these things that Manasseh had done, they were specifically forbidden by God. One of the things that got King Saul in trouble was the fact that he got all the mediums out of the land, and then he went to worship one, or went to visit one. He didn't go to worship her, he went to visit her. Manasseh did the same thing. He allowed it to go on. Slide down a little bit further to verse 10. Now the Lord spoke through his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I'm bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Now, what do we see here in this particular passage that we're looking at in 2 Kings chapter 21? We see Manasseh reversing the policies of his father, Hezekiah. We see him worshiping idols. We see him causing the people to worship idols. We see him doing specifically what God had forbidden them to do. And we see what God said is going to happen to the people because of Manasseh. Now, did the people engage in this? Well, Manasseh rebuilt the high places. That's where the people went to worship their idols. Manasseh caused his son to be sacrificed in fire. He's the king. What do you suppose the people did? No, I cannot prove that statement, but he's the king. What else did he do? He caused the people of the nation of Judah to sin because of those idols. Where are we when it comes to that? When we look at it, have these had any influence today? Well, let me read you a little excerpt here. The history of astrology can now be traced back to ancient Babylonia, and indeed to the earliest phases of Babylon history in the third millennium BC. In Babylonia, as well as in Assyria, as a direct offshoot of the Sumerian culture, or in general, the Mesopotamian culture, astrology takes its place in the official cult as one of the two chief means at the disposal of the priests, who were called bear or inspectors, for ascertaining the will and intent of the gods, the other being through the inspection of the liver of the sacrificial animal. The earliest extant Babylonian astrology text is the Enuma Una Enlil, literally meaning when the gods Anu and Enlil, and it dates back to 1600 BC. This text describes various astronomical omens and their application to national and political affairs. That's taken, of course, from the Wikipedia. Again, I'm not saying that to look at one's horoscope makes them an idolater. What I'm saying is follow one's horoscope puts them in that particular realm. What we're looking at with this lesson is not necessarily the idea that we normally deal with as we talk about idols. But what we're looking at in this lesson is the idea that what God has told us not to do, and all of a sudden, as we look at our society around us, it encompasses us. In everything that we are acquainted with, we find idolatry. The days of the week, the months of the year, the horoscopes in the newspaper, the things that we do on a daily basis. Our family associations oftentimes cause these things. What's a person to do? Well, we don't have to worship idols. We don't see the stone idol in here. We don't see a wooden idol in here. We don't see a metal idol in here. We don't see images of human bodies in here. We don't see images of animals in here. What's a person to do? What is in your life? What is the most important thing in your life? To some people, it may be their job. To others, perhaps it's that house that they've always dreamed of having and now have it. Or it's that new car. Or it's a golf tournament. Or a baseball game. Saw a sign out in front of a congregation one time. The Super Bowl was fixing to be played, and they had set up a big screen television in their family life center and said, "Come have a soup or bowl with us." What have we've looked at all of this and talked about these things. What have we personally placed as an idol? I'm not saying anybody in this audience, if somebody gets up after services and say, "Jack, you accused me of having idols in my life," I will tell you, no, I did not. I'm not saying you do have. I want you to think about your life. What have we placed in our lives ahead of God? That's what we want to look at. That's what we want to think about. That's the reason that I have spent, 20 minutes or so up here talking about these things. most of us in the Western world would never dream of doing the things that we have looked at. But perhaps we still have idols in our lives. Perhaps it is the money. Perhaps it is the possessions. We sing songs about this very thing. The song that Lee led right before the lesson, "The Lily of the Valley," says, "I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart." Really? Have we? There's another song that we sing. Jesus calls us from each idol that would keep us saying, "Christian, love me more." There's another one. "Oh, for a closer walk with thee. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." We sing these songs. Do we take the idols out of our lives? Of course, the biggest idol that we have or that we can worship is self. Why is it that people make idols out of money, possessions, and pleasures? Because they say, "That's what I want." Therefore, while we may not be tempted to make a carved image and bow down to it, we still need to heed the inspired writer's warning. 1 John chapter 5 at verse 21, where he says, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols," or in the New King James, "keep yourselves from idols." It is easy to find ourselves doing the very thing that we have been talking about this evening. It is easy for us to bring idols into our lives without even realizing that we have done so. It behooves us to remember the admonition of the Lord as to the things that we are not supposed to do. If you look at your life and you find yourself this evening in a position of thinking about the things that you have placed in your life before the Lord, whatever it might be, pleasure, "Well, I don't want to become a Christian because I would have to give up so many things that I like to do." That's an idol. Job, why is it, don't answer me this out loud, why is it that I'm sick on Sunday and I'm at work on Monday? What's more important to me? Oh, I know. I forgot. I have to make a living. Met a lady one time. She wasn't at Sunday morning services. Her husband told me that she was ill. That afternoon, out shopping at Walmart, ran into this lady grocery shopping. What's more important in your life? God? Or I'll let you fill in that blank. What's more important? If you've never obeyed the gospel, I can tell you what's more important. The pleasures of this world, the serving of Satan. And I can tell you the end result of that. Eternal destruction. Had a lady the other day, my wife was talking to her on the telephone and said something about if you don't go to church, you're going to hell. And the lady said, well, the preacher didn't say that. Well, let me tell you something. Eternal destruction and hell are equivalent to each other. Do I need to say it any different? If you've never obeyed the gospel, you have a sure and certain path to the road to hell. You're going to spend eternity being punished because you put an idol before God. Maybe you have obeyed the gospel. But maybe there's an idol in the way. You've let it creep in unawares. You need to think about that. What is the end result? We talked this morning about this chart that has good on one side and bad on the other side. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't keep score that way. He looks at your last action, not the actions you did 5 years ago. He looks at your last action. What was it? If it wasn't what it needed to be, repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Perhaps you're just in the position of needing to have the saints to pray for you because you're having trouble staying where you need to be and not allowing that idol into your life. Whatever it might be, if you find yourself subject to the invitation of the Lord, and it's not our invitation, it's His invitation. If you find yourself subject to it, won't you let us know as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?